It's a cold spring morning. The air is fresh, and you take in the beautiful landscape that surrounds the magnificent house that you are visiting. You're at the front of the queue with about 10 people behind you. You enter the doorway and a lady greets you. You slowly walk into the corridor when you suddenly hear a scream from behind. You turn around to witness the lady who greeted you as you came in, disappearing. Welcome to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. I'm Clem Dalloway, and this episode takes us to the Forest of Dean in the Cotswolds, where stands what has been known as one of the most haunted houses in England. Known in the Guinness Book of World Records as the oldest inhabited house in England, Little Dean Hall has a remarkable history. Located in the village of Little Dean in the Cotswolds, Little Dean Hall, as we know it today, in its Jacobean style, was built in 1612, but its history goes back much further. A Saxon hall stood where the house is now, which would have been built for the Lords of Dean, which eventually became a Saxon church, and after the Norman invasion, it was converted into a Norman hall with a crypt and undercroft. In the Domesday Book of 1086, Little Dean was part of the estate of Dean, held by William, son of Norman, and a castle was built soon afterwards nearby, known as Little Dean Camp. The castle was also known as Little Dean Roman Camp, or Roman Camp, and was thought to have Roman origins. But modern archaeology has shown that it was built in the 11th century, even though Roman masonry has been found on the land, and there was a Roman settlement in the area. The outer wall of the castle still remains on high ground, which looks over the Severn Valley. In 1612, the house was purchased by Charles Bridgeman, and it became known as Little Dean Hall by 1628, and later Dean Hall. It was sold to the Perk family in 1664, who had the house for another 250 years. The house has 7 bedrooms, a dining room, sitting room, drawing room, living room, a stable and a coach house. The cellar is still the original Saxon crypt and undercroft. In 1643, during the English Civil War, a royalist garrison was stationed at Little Dean. In April of 1643, Sir William Waller led an army of parliamentarian soldiers from Chepstow against Prince Maurice, who was lodging at Little Dean at the time. Maurice and his royalist soldiers withdrew from the village, which enabled Waller to be able to pass through Little Dean and march his army to Gloucester, but they were attacked from behind, with little effect. In May 1644, Edward Massey, the commander of the Gloucester Parliamentarian garrison, attacked the Royalist garrison by surprise at Little Dean. They defeated the Royalists. He later massacred a group of soldiers who had broken the terms of their surrender. In 1819, the road outside the hall was diverted, and a wall was built around the land, near to the road. This was thought to have been done by Napoleonic prisoners of war, as they were held on the Little Dean estate. A cavalry regiment was also stationed at the hall during World War I. The house has many hidden passageways and priest holes. During the Great Strike, in May 1926, where the coal miners went on strike for 8 days, The cellars of Little Dean Hall were checked to see if there was any coal left. As the cellars were being checked, a passageway was accidentally discovered, which contained some old armour and a few skeletons. These were cleared out and the passageway was sealed up. From the 1970s, the Mesa Wright family owned and lived in Little Dean Hall. And in 1982, they opened the house up to the public. Donald Mesa Wright had an interest in archaeology, and so started to examine and excavate the house and its surroundings. He started in the cellar, where he discovered Roman masonry, a Saxon chapel, and Norman pottery. When excavating the land, he came across some Roman masonry and a thermal pool which overlooked the Seven Horseshoe. Dr. Anne Ross, a top archaeologist who specialised in Celtic and pagan Britain, recognised the natural spring as a Celtic water shrine to Sabrina, the goddess of the Seven. In 1744, 23-year-old Charles Perk was murdered by a servant. The perpetrator was a black slave who had been with the family since he was a child. As a child, he was brought up in the household along with Charles, and it's believed that they were around the same age, as there is a portrait in the dining room of them together when they were children. Charles was the son of Captain Thomas Perk, who owned a sugar plantation in the West Indies. Having a black servant was for some reason fashionable around this time, and they were made to wear a silver collar, as can be seen in the painting. It's believed that Charles had raped his sister, and she conceived a child, who was hidden behind a secret panel in the blue room. When her brother found out, he went into a rage and killed Charles. He ran from the house and was found a few hours later, before he was killed for his actions. The ghost of the slave has been seen on many occasions in the east wing of the building, walking the corridor outside of his room and the drawing room. People have said that he holds a lighted candle, and they've also mentioned the silver collar around his neck. He has also had the blame for throwing flowers that have been placed in vases onto the floor. One day, Donald Mesa Wright could smell what seemed like rotting flesh in the dining room. When he investigated, he found that the flowers from the vase had been put on the fire, and his dog was growling, cowering away from the area. The portrait of Charles and the slave, which hung over the mantelpiece, has been found many times lying on the floor, as if it had fallen off. The owners at the time decided to attach a strong chain to the painting, but it was found the next morning, as if it had been thrown into the fireplace, with its chain mysteriously broken. Eventually, they took the painting down until 1982, when a reproduction was placed in its place, and it's been there ever since. When Little Dean Hall was used as a royalist garrison during the English Civil War, parliamentary soldiers attacked the hall, capturing 20 soldiers in the guardhouse. Colonel Congreve, governor of Nuneham, and Colonel Wigmore were in charge of the garrison, and a few soldiers surrendered. When one of the royalist soldiers accidentally fired a pistol, he hit a rounded soldier, killing him. The repercussion of this caused both colonels, Congreve and Wigmore, to be put to death by the sword. This supposedly happened in front of the fireplace in the dining room, where a bloodstain appears on occasions, on the same spot where they were killed. Even when the floorboards were sanded and then planed, the bloodstain still reappeared. Eventually, the floorboards were completely replaced, but the bloodstains came back. The ghosts of cavaliers have been seen in the dining room and outside the front of the house. Another entity that has been seen in the dining room is that of a monk who walks across the room and into the old library, where there's a priest hole that used to lead to a tunnel below the cellar, which led to the Grange of Flaxley Abbey a quarter of a mile away. The tunnel would have been used by monks to enter and exit the house to give Holy Communion without being seen during the days of the Reformation. One of the rooms has always been known to be extremely active with paranormal activity. That room was shut for years and no one would stay in it. This is the blue bedroom, where previous occupants reported that even the atmosphere alone gave a chilling feeling, and they would hear the sound of clashing swords, believed to be the site of two brothers who fought a duel over a lady in 1740. Both were killed in the fight. The driveway in front of the house was found to have the foundations of a Roman road underneath, which may have led to a nearby Roman road, where the ghosts of a legion of Roman soldiers have been spotted many times over the years. For around 200 years, the Braine family occupied the house. During the English Civil War, Richard Braine, High Sheriff of Gloucester, was living in the house, and he was believed to have hid away from the Roundheads and changed his attire, dressing in the gardener's clothes, thinking that he wouldn't be recognised. It's not known if he was captured or killed, but the shade of a gardener is often seen sweeping leaves from the driveway. Other ghosts have been seen around the house too. A lady in a yellow dress is seen walking all over the house and grounds. An elderly couple who visited the hall in the 1980s were greeted by a lady in a yellow dress as they entered the doorway. They didn't think it was anything unusual until another one of the visitors watched her disappear right in front of her. During the Corn Riots of 1769, the people of Jersey were starving as the ruling classes decided to make a profit from the overpriced sale of wheat in which they sold to the French. This same year, a member of the Perk family was attacked and killed at Littledean Hall by militiamen from Jersey. His ghost has been seen from the outside of the house, through one of the windows. This has been witnessed by various visitors, day and night. As visitors have climbed the front staircase, many have reported suddenly suffering from vertigo. It's believed that a previous occupant had died falling down the stairs. Littledean Hall has now been sold and isn't open to the public. The village of Littledean has also had its fair share of ghostly activity. There's a local story about a house that had such a reputation for being haunted that no one would go near it. After a succession of people only staying in the house for a few weeks at a time, due to the haunting, after a while it became abandoned. After a few years, the house was demolished. The story tells of a brother and sister who had an incestuous relationship and had given birth to a daughter. The whole village were against them. The man lost his job and couldn't find any more work. They were ostracized by everyone. They eventually gave up and committed suicide after killing their baby daughter. A house known as the Red House, or Braine Court, dates back to just after the Battle of Hastings, where it was originally built as a keep to protect the local communities from raiders. It was converted into a residential property in medieval times, when it was bought by the local wealthy Braine family. The Braine family sold the house in the 18th century, when it was then used as a pin factory. And then in the 19th century, it became the local workhouse for the poor, with the poorest of the community having to live in the attic space, which was only accessed by ladder, and it was removed at night. At night, the ghost of a very tall man who wears a black suit and a top hat is seen walking around the grounds. Shadows and blurred figures have been seen through the windows, and a young girl around 12 years old sticking her tongue out at people before disappearing. People visiting the nearby Little Dean House Hotel have seen a man wearing a velvet cap and cape, and has been seen walking around the hotel. In the 17th century church farm, there have been sightings of a lady who wears a long grey dress. She walks silently around the outside of the house. A man hunched over, carrying a heavy sack on his back, is often seen at nearby gun mills. The ghost of a horse and its rider is often seen riding amongst the ruins of nearby Flaxley Abbey, along with people witnessing strange sounds, walking shadows of monks, and white mist. Little Dean Jail is now a museum to the strange and macabre, holds some very strange and interesting artifacts. It contains the shovel of the notorious serial killer, Fred West, various paraphernalia that belonged to the Cray twins, and much more. One of the old jail doors is known to open by itself. It needs a 6-inch key to unlock it, and is also secured by 2 iron bolts. People have also heard the sound of people walking around the upstairs part of the prison, when no one else is in the building. Thank you for listening. You can find more information about the episodes on the website, www.ghosttales.co.uk. You can log on to the Facebook page, facebook.com/ghosttalespodcast, and also on Instagram at ghosttalespodcast. This podcast will be out monthly and is available on most platforms. All music, researching, writing, production, art, and sound effects are all my own work.